The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, 9 o'clock hour. Glad to have you here. It's our final hour together on this Wednesday, the 18th of September. And it is our final hour of broadcasting before we get to spend time together in person. And I always love that. Loved it last night at the Dallas County Council of Republican Women, a room full of candidates and Republican women and Republican men and Republican fervor to do what we can to preserve sanity in Dallas County and keep Texas red. It was just a wonderful event. Thank you guys for having me. And tonight, an evening with Newt Gingrich. How great is that? Newt's going to sit down. I'm going to pepper him with questions, large and small, past, present, and future. And yes, you can still get in. Tickets on sale this morning at aneveningwithnewt.com and aneveningwithnewt.com. But if you get off work at 5, you call your bride and say, Wanda, we're going to see talk show boy and Newt Gingrich. Come on in. We got some tickets we can even handle at the door for you at the Irving Arts Center tonight at 7. Be there, an evening with Newt Gingrich. So there's that. So I woke up this morning after having spent, I got home last night and I saw that all you know what has broken loose between two guys I've loved forever. And not just for shared space ideologically, but I just like them as people. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and Empower Texans head Michael Quinn Sullivan. And, you know, we've got, you know, Republicans will have internecine squabbling and conservatives will wonder exactly how far to go on taxes or spending or whether or not to launch into a war with Iran over a Saudi incursion, et cetera, et cetera. But there is no one who has enjoyed more of the largesse of the fundraising and activism of Empower Texans, a singularly valuable conservative group in Texas, than Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. So to have Lieutenant Governor Patrick and Michael Quinn Sullivan at each other's throats is an amazing moment. So I wake up this morning, I've got my thoughts, my reactions, and there are two people who occur to me who I really want to talk through this with. One of them is another talk show guy, a colleague of mine up at KFYO in Lubbock named Chad Hasty. He's on tomorrow at 8:05 because he's covering all this just like I am. And I just kind of want to I figure it benefits all of y'all if I am bouncing things off other people and, you know, sort of testing my own thoughts. And the other is a guy who's a mutual friend of his and mine. And that's our buddy Quorum Report editor, Scott Braddock, who joins us. And it's funny. So I'm texting these guys and tweet direct messaging these guys. And it turns out that Scott is out in California and I'm getting him at what was essentially 4:45 in the morning. So thank you for joining us at what is actually 12 minutes after 7, buddy. It's above and beyond the call of duty. How are you doing?
Well, through the wonders of technology, we're able to spread the love all across the United States, from the West Coast back to Texas.
That's right. Ain't it something? I think I'm inclined to take this chapter by chapter, because the chapters come quick, and rather than so here we go. So the way what's baked in here is Michael Quinn Sullivan has been a conservative provocateur for a long time. And I say that respectfully. I think there's a lot of things that need to be provoked. Mm-hmm. And if there are two things that create tension with him and the lieutenant governor, one is the Bonin mess, which Patrick and Abbott wish would just go away, and it's not going to. And the other is a gun cause, because Lieutenant Governor Patrick, for whatever reason, has decided that he wants to at least spend a moment at the altar of expanded background checks. Now, it's just a little expanded background check, just stranger to stranger. But a lot of Second Amendment devotees are calling me and saying, hell no. And what's the lieutenant governor thinking? Well, that's one thing. But when Michael Quinn Sullivan posts the following and says, and I quote, whether it is Beto O'Rourke wanting to outright seize your firearms or Dan Patrick trying to manage what you do with them, it is sadly evident too many politicians are all too willing to betray our Constitution in the name of their own political power. Dan Patrick sees this and offers up the following. You know my plan exempts family and friends, so apparently you are fine with selling your guns to total strangers who can't pass a background check because they could be a violent felon or someone bent on mass violence. By the way, release the tape. You're destroying our party. With more, here's Scott Braddock.
Remarkable, Mark. I sat here listening to your lead into this. I know that you have loved these two guys, Dan Patrick and Michael Quinn Sullivan. I would say my feelings toward them are not quite love. But I think that we should think of it this way. If Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was still radio talk show host Dan Patrick, what would he be saying about the presiding officer of the Texas Senate today? If you go back and look at the history of the lieutenant governor, his path to power was what? It was through the grassroots of the Republican Party, being as conservative as you could be, rock-rib conservative, somebody who would never compromise on conservative values. And where does he find himself today? Compromising on conservative values. Now, this is not a value judgment on my part. This is what happens when you are governing, and this is what happens when you're trying to win statewide, you know, elections and trying to shore up the Republican Party. And there are, as you know, some differences of opinion about how to do that. But look, the lieutenant governor has had the best political instincts probably of anybody in, I almost said this state, but I'm not in Texas, in recent memory. I mean, he was someone who rose from state senator to lieutenant governor by doing what I just said.
Yep.
You know, by harnessing the power of the grassroots conservative movement over and over again. And when people underestimated him, they were wrong to do that. I think that he can read polls as well as anybody. And you may have noticed this, Mark. You've had the lieutenant governor on the show many, many times. A lot of times he will say something is the right thing to do. That's a tell, because the next thing he's about to do is tell you about a poll that backs him up. So I've heard of this in interviews, you've seen it in press conferences, interviews, et cetera. He sent an email to supporters after this idea was floated about the expanded background checks. Patrick, in a section called The Right Thing to Do, said, quote, every public poll I have seen in the past year shows there is broad support for expanding background checks. After the El Paso shooting, a Fox News poll showed that 90% of Americans support expanding background checks, including strong majorities among Republicans and gun owners. This was true on the bathroom bill. This was true on property taxes. Whatever the issue was, he would say it's the right thing to do. Then he would talk about polls that back him up. So he's good at reading polls. He knows what's at stake in 2020. And I think he has a difference of opinion with the grassroots about what ought to be done on guns. That zinger at the end about release the tape, you're destroying our party. That is, yes, destroying our party. Well, for one thing, I heard from a lot of Republicans yesterday who said, wait a minute, isn't Patrick one of the, you know, sort of ringleaders of going after fellow Republicans for years and years? And with the help of Empower Texans, as you mentioned, he has certainly benefited from the largesse of the group. I believe I was looking at the reports, Mark. He's taken something north of $800,000 in the past few cycles from Empower Texans. I would say the only other elected official who rivals that would be the Attorney General, Ken Paxton. I know they collateralized $1 million loan for him when he was running originally for that office. So their support of conservative candidates is well known, and they expect what investors would call ROI, return on investment. Yeah. When they get into office, they expect them to behave the way that they campaigned, which was conservatively.
Precisely right.
And Patrick is just simply not doing that now. I think that I think Patrick was sort of taken aback, and I don't think that he understood what the electorate was going to do in 2018. I think he's still trying to wrap his mind around it. I was told by sources close to the lieutenant governor that when he almost lost his race last year after spending north of $10 million for the general election, $7 million for the primary, against the Democrat, who, by the way, you remember his name, right? No, nobody does. The Democrat could not raise $1 million. So he had spent, $10 million on his general election, almost loses the race. And I was told that he was just sort of slack-jawed, sitting in his chair watching those election results, thinking, I can't believe what just happened. And so I think he's still trying to wrap his mind around it, trying to figure out what that means for 2020. And I think the lieutenant governor genuinely doesn't want to see Republicans lose any more seats in the state legislature.
Of course. And he told me that. And he told me that. Sure. He literally said, and this made my, it made my blood run cold. And I don't mean with rage or anything, just with, I don't even know what with, but he said, look, if we don't do anything, we can't be perceived as quote unquote doing nothing. It is the first time in my life that I've heard Dan Patrick borrow directly from the index cards of the left that failure to expand gun control is by definition, quote, doing nothing. So predictably, folks like Jonathan Strickland come after him saying, no, Dan Patrick, you're destroying the party. You're the politician who has forgotten who brought you to the dance. You've publicly been taking a dump on our party platform and our long-held support of the Second Amendment. You will own the election results, not the grassroots. And Michael Quinn Sullivan got back in saying, why haven't you bothered to listen to the tape? Why not? Too scared to make a moral judgment without a poll? What's actually destroying the GOP is moral cowardice in which elected officials are unwilling to address the unethical behavior of their of other politicians. Let me give you this, Scott Braddock. If I gather 100 Dan Patrick fans, 100 rock-ribbed conservative Texans at random right now, they will be closer to the Michael Quinn Sullivan positions on Bonin and guns than Dan Patrick is. That is not good news for the lieutenant governor.
No question. The lieutenant governor is sort of liberated here because if he had to answer to the people who put him in office, it would not go well, but he's not up for re-election, and he's looking at what's happening with other Republicans. After seeing 12 seats go to additional seats go to the Democrats in the Texas House, two in the Texas Senate, two congressional districts flip in Dallas and Houston, he's very worried, and as I said, he's trying to figure out what he ought to do. And that 2018 election result, you don't expect that an ocean liner will turn that quickly. And suddenly, all these new Democrats just came out of nowhere. You know, Paul Burka, who was the dean of the Texas Press Corps before he retired, Texas Monthly, Paul had said, look, many times, if you're talking about a politician who's looking for new voters, there's a word for that. It's loser. And right now, Republicans are the ones looking for new voters. I mean, do you remember Republicans ever spending huge amounts of money in Texas to try to find and register new voters for their side? It's always been the Democrats who have been working to do that. You have this effort called Engage Texas. They've raised about $10 million with the stated purpose of trying to find 1 million new Republican voters. Steve Munisteri, the former Republican Party chairman, told the SRAC, the State Republican Executive Committee, this weekend that and he's working on that effort, Engage Texas, and he's also working with the Cornyn campaign for the senator, and said, look, we're expecting up to 11 million people to vote in Texas. And Mark, I think that's probably low. I think it's probably closer to 12 or 13 million that vote next year, based on what we saw in 2018 with 8.4 million voting in an off year in a midterm. Munisteri was saying, look, whichever side makes it to about 5.5 million voters first wins. And it is the belief among the sort of establishment of the Republican Party that that they're going to have to be more quote unquote moderate. And I would say for the lieutenant governor's part on this, you can only be in office for so long before you are the establishment. He's part of that thinking.
Correct.
And so he's now taking the heat from the grassroots.
And it's an establishment. It is an establishment-ish instinct that has him and Governor Abbott forming a circle of protection around Dennis Bonin. The only thing they want us to think about Speaker Bonin is how double, triple awesome he was partnering with them in a legislative session that did have some good things, but maybe not enough. And you opened with the perfect thing, because there's always a huge difference between people who hold office for a living and those of us who do this for a living. Talk show host Dan Patrick would be saying the same thing as talk show host Mark Davis is, and that is that Dennis Bonin showed some disturbing disturbing, snake-like behavior on that tape, and it doesn't necessarily need to be career-ending for him, but nor can we sweep it under the rug. But as lieutenant governor, he can't say that. And when he looks at 2018, I also take at face value your notion that 2018 rocked him to the core. I want it to be a wake-up call that Texas, if we're lazy, can change, can become a purple state. But one election cycle didn't do that. That was the Beto buzzsaw. It was a fluke. It was lightning in a bottle. The notion that Trump's going to lose Texas or that Cornyn's going to lose is insane, but we need to make sure. I love the efforts where we're trying to go out and recruit more Republicans, because we've probably done a crappy job of doing that in the past.
President Trump is definitely a factor in what happened in 2018, though. I would say one thing about what you just said. I agree with almost everything there, but Beto O'Rourke can't be the candidate that he was in 18 without the Trump environment. You have a lot of people in Texas, and we like to say at Quorum Report that people are either civilians or combatants in politics. And President Trump has converted more people from civilians to combatants than almost any other president, any other public figure. And so I think the lieutenant governor's point that he made earlier in the year was right on target, which is that doesn't necessarily mean that those new combatants are necessarily very liberal Democrats. A lot of them are voting for the very first time. There's a chance to go out and talk to them and engage with them, see if they can be convinced to vote for Republicans. But you have to roll up your sleeves and do the hard work. And we don't know who's going to turn out in the next election. So doing that work is going to be key. But I don't think that talk show Dan, as you said, would be very happy with Lieutenant Governor Dan at all.
No, and it's so funny because it's not that these are mutually exclusive. Was it all the Beto buzzsaw or a real upswell of Democrat, distaste for Trump? I know Democrats will crawl on broken glass to try to end the Trump administration across America. But I don't think that Royce West or MJ Hagar or Chris Bell is going to come close to the cult of personality and being on Ellen every day and the enormous money that Beto got. And that's why I'm confident that Cornyn wins and it ain't that close, and that Trump wins and it ain't that close. The state house, that's another matter.
You talk to the grassroots all the time, Mark, so I know we're probably running short on time, so I'll leave you with this thought among our last thoughts here. The office holder who has a real consequence here is John Cornyn. He is caught in the same situation that Patrick is caught in, but Cornyn's on the ballot. And so, look, you, in talking to the grassroots, might want to ask this question. Would they crawl through broken glass to support Cornyn over whoever the Democrat is? Whenever I see Cornyn promoted on conservative talk shows, it's usually those on the right who are tweeting hatred at him and saying that he's a rhino and why are you even having him on? So I wonder where his base is.
I think that's very 2006, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't mean that it's gone. And my task, and I know I've been doing it and I'm about to do it some more, is reminding people that Trump made everybody better, that he made Pete Sessions better, he made Mitch McConnell better, except he made Lindsey Graham better, except those who are unwilling to do so and not to have the eyes to see and the brain to absorb. Cornyn, since the inauguration, has been a completely reliable Trump administration ally. I can't see a bunch of people voting for Trump then going on Cornyn to the degree that he loses.
Yeah, it may, though, be that a lot of them, because we don't have straight ticket voting anymore in Texas, might vote for Trump and then not vote for Cornyn. And I know that the Democrats are, and not vote for anybody else, but I know that the Democrats are doing a lot of voter education about that, about the idea that straight ticket voting is going away. And so if you want to have your vote, registered in all those races, you got to go down the ballot and, punch
that's
them
right.
all.
That is. In fact, last night at a big Republican event, I said we are famous as Republicans for going three or four, down ballot stuff and going, I don't know that guy. And I reminded them that the Republican you don't know is better than any Democrat from a Republican perspective. So, listen, always appreciate the perspective of Scott Braddock. Thanks for getting up with us on the West Coast. Get on back to Texas, and I know we'll talk again soon. Much appreciated every day.
Appreciate you, Mark. Thank
you bet. Scott Braddock, Quorum Report. Check him out on Twitter at Scott Braddock. And it's 9:26. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. All right. Home stretch half hour lies ahead. We'll take a look at how ABC covered the Capitol Hill showdown of Nadler versus Lewandowski. And then does the move of Uber, does the Uber headquarters that Dallas just snagged, does that mean there's a whole lot of research and attention and stuff to more driverless cars and the flying Uber taxi craziness? The answer to that is yes, and I've got a story about that as well. So all that and more lies ahead. Get your tickets for Newt tonight at aneveningwithnewt.com, aneveningwithnewt.com. And as we ponder an evening with Newt, now here are some moments with Gordon Griffin in the newsroom at 9:33.
Now when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite, you need a little soul.
You might have been dancing to this in 1967. Kind of a one-hit wonder from a group called The Music Explosion. Little Bit of Soul. Covered by the Ramones with more cowbell on Subterranean Jungle. There you go, for Dee Dee's birthday. There you go. He would have been 68 today. All right, let me share a little something with you as this whole MQS versus Dan Patrick thing rolls out. Randall Dunning is a state Republican executive committee, SREC, committeeman in Senate District 16. He was a former city councilman in Garland. And they, at their SREC meeting over the weekend, drafted a resolution. And he says that the Republican Party of Texas is sending a copy of this to Lieutenant Governor Patrick. Dan is in a self-created quandary here, and I love him, but what I love more than him, or more than any individual or personality or friend, is conservative principle. Conservative principle. Let me share with you. They have a bit of a resolution about Second and Fourth Amendment against red flag and enhanced background checks. The part that's red flag laws, we've covered that because liberal judges and crazy friends will lie, and red flag laws are terrible. But what we've really got to do, those of us who are real Second Amendment devotees, is we've got to get people to stop worshiping at the phony altar and the false promises of enhanced background checks. And I will tell you, I will be damned if I will be insulted by people, whether it's Beto, with the promise of confiscation, or even some people who are Republicans who are scared to death of losing unless we fine-tune or nuance our Second Amendment passions. No, I'm not going to do it. So here we go. Enhanced background checks. This is from the State Republican Executive Committee, District 16. And they said the Republican Party of Texas is going to send this to Lieutenant Governor Patrick. Mr. Dunning says, enhanced background checks are in reality backdoor gun registration schemes that violate the Commerce Clause of the Constitution if implemented at the federal level and are unworkable at the state level. Enhanced background checks will only add inconvenience and increase the expense to law-abiding citizens without having any effect on criminal elements other than driving the black market deeper underground. Enhanced background checks arbitrarily and capriciously turn the historically lawful act of private commerce between fellow citizens into a felony based purely upon the idea that all private gun buyers are criminals until declared otherwise. And whereas existing background check systems produce more false positives than actual hits, and all enhanced background check proposals suffer from the same fatal defect. All right, then they move on to red flag laws. Over 90% of gun violence occurs in jurisdictions with draconian implementations of gun control that just happen to be governed by the same Democrats calling for these measures. When confronted with the options of doing nothing or doing the wrong thing, decent, just, and thoughtful people will always refuse to be stampeded by emotional pleas into doing that which is legally, ethically, and morally wrong. Therefore, be it resolved that the Republican Party of Texas calls upon members of the Texas congressional delegation and members of the Texas legislature to firmly reject enhanced background checks and extreme risk protective orders, red flag laws, as nothing but cleverly devised infringements on the God-given and constitutionally protected right to keep and bear arms. And let it further be resolved that the Republican Party of Texas strongly rejects any further expansion of red flag laws or enhanced background checks should there be a special session of the Texas legislature. Respectfully submitted, the Resolutions Committee of the Republican Party of Texas. That's from Randall Dunning, committeeman there in the SREC, State Republican Executive Committee in District 16. I could not possibly agree with that more. I could not possibly agree with that more. I know that a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives are feeling beaten down. Oh, my gosh, we better do something. The left is all about doing something, doing something. What are you doing? Just your silly little thoughts and prayers. You're not doing anything. And you know what they mean by doing something. Oh, and they'll wrap it in the wonderful, the friendly language of common sense gun legislation. And I know Republicans are going to cave and conservatives are going to look hard in the mirror and say, well, can't we just, you know, maybe sort of kind of think about expanded background checks? Because maybe if we do that, they'll leave us alone and they won't beat us in Austin or in Washington. This is a time for courage. This is a time not to sacrifice or compromise, but to rediscover our Second Amendment passion. And I never thought in a million years that I would lovingly offer that advice to my friend Dan Patrick. We need to have Dan on the show probably pretty darn soon. He may call us at any moment. It's 'cause, and I love him. And if there's anything that Dan wants, it's always to be understood. And I will always help him be understood because I understand him now. I understand him now. He looks at poll after poll. Listen, when you see the next poll that says, oh, 70,000,000% of everybody wants more background checks, realize that people are illiterate. People are illiterate. A ton of people want free stuff paid for by other people. That doesn't make it right. You know, and even gun owners believe this. Even conservatives believe that. Oh, the hell they do. Not the real ones. They don't. If you are conservative and you feel yourself lured by the siren song, enhanced background checks, ooh, it's wonderful, it's okay, we're not really coming for your guns, we're just going to make it a little more complicated, we're just going to, you know, just say that you got to go to a gun dealer, and it's all going to be okay. No.
No.
And if somebody insults you for that view, as Lieutenant Governor Patrick insulted Michael Quinn Sullivan, suggesting, well, you must be okay with, strangers dealing with strangers who might be the next terrorist. Dan, I love you. That will not fly. That will not fly. We're in Fort Worth. Doug, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
Great. Thank you.
So the reason I was calling, I was listening to your interview, and there are a couple of comments made. One was about you dance with the one who brung you, or how it was worded.
Mm-hmm.
What I really want most of the people out there to understand is not everyone agrees with Michael Quinn Sullivan on everything, but I will tell you this.
Correct.
Everyone that does not agree with Michael Sullivan will lose his support on any one issue. And I've seen so many people, and it can happen to Dan Patrick tomorrow, I've seen so many people in state legislature that have become the enemies of Michael Quinn Sullivan because of a single vote. And there, later in the comments, there was a comment about return on investment. To me, that would imply a quid pro quo for your vote. And that is not that's not right either. That irritates me to no end.
I hear you, and I can't speak for other people, but I've followed Empower Texans and Michael for a long time, and there are things that some elected officials can do that are evidence to Empower Texans of a collapse of their conservatism. Sometimes they've made that judgment call, and I think they've been a little harsh. Sometimes they've made that judgment call, and I think they're 100% correct. Their bar for meeting their conservative level of approval is pretty darn high. Is it unreasonably so or unhelpfully so sometimes? I'll leave that to the individual observer. But people pushing hard, and I think this is a time for us to redouble our efforts, to not cave, whether it's on ethical matters and Dennis Bonin or the Second Amendment, and I'm totally on Michael's side on this. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's kind of funny. The sniping, I think, is born of frustration. I think Lieutenant Governor Patrick is scared to death of a Democrat Texas House. And I don't think he needs to be. Can we just forget Beto was ever born, please? God knows the United States of America seems to be in the process of forgetting Beto was ever born. Can we get him out of our... He's taken up rent. He's taken up space in our brains rent-free. Beto was a fluke, lightning in a bottle, a total sham. And Trump is not going to lose Texas. Cornyn is not going to lose. The district-by-district dramas of the state house are real. We're going to have to fight hard. But you know what? We will fight hard. And the way you fight hard is by doubling down on the Second Amendment and saying hell no to people who want to expand background checks. Not by caving and giving in and partnering with the left so that maybe they'll like us a little more. It is a recipe for disaster. I love you, man. Thank you. 950, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. So it's Frankie Avalon's 80th birthday. Now, I played Venus already. How many times can you play that? He did a cover, a little vocal cover of an old Glenn Miller record called Tuxedo Junction. So if Frankie can cover that, I can let it cover our exit period. Down.
Forget your cares, come on down. You'll find me there, so long town. I'm a-headin' for Tuxedo Junction now.
So we want you to come on down to the Irving Arts Center tonight for an evening with Newt Gingrich. Last minute, we got tickets at the door for you at the Irving Arts Center. We'll see you tonight at 7. Get there a little early. And speaking of a little early, this is the last morning of online sales, so grab those now and we'll take care of you there online at aneveningwithnewt.com. Aneveningwithnewt.com. So come on down. We thank y'all for hanging out with us today. Producer Rhonda K. Moreland, technical guru skills from Shane Bell.
Come on down.
News ace Gordon Griffin. God bless our country, our troops, our families.
Come on down.
See you tonight for an evening with Newt. See you tomorrow morning on the radio. Radio on 660 AM. The Answer. Mike Gallagher is next. Be good.
Come on down.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.